How much can we really learn about human nature by studying the great apes? A whole lot, says Franz de Waal. He's a primatologist at the Yerkes Primate Center in Atlanta. De Waal says our psychology is basically a primate psychology, shaped by the same social dynamics that have molded chimps and other primates. Franz de Waal calls his new book Our Inner Ape, but he thinks we really have two inner apes.
I'm a bit upset by the fact that people, when we do bad things, they always blame that on our animal side. So when we leave people behind after Katrina, they say we've been left behind like animals. And so as soon as we do bad things, that's our animal side. And if we do good things, it's our noble human nature that does it. And I argue that we have two sides. We have a nasty side. And if we are bad, we are worse than any animal that I know. But we also have a good side. And we are fortunate to have two close relatives, the bonobo and the chimpanzee, that highlight these two sides. So the chimpanzee is violent and territorial and dominance-oriented. But the bonobo is a very gentle, peaceful creature. And so we have this entire spectrum of behavior, and we have two close relatives that sort of illustrate it.
This is a fairly recent discovery, I gather. I mean, to the untrained eye, the chimpanzee and the bonobo look very much alike. It's clear that they're quite different, but that's not something that's been known for a long time, is it?
No, the bonobo has been discovered only less than a century ago, and there's very few of them in captivity. They are very highly endangered in the field. And so we know actually much less about the bonobo than the chimpanzee, of which there are many thousands in captivity. And the bonobo has been ignored. But this is not the only reason that they have been ignored. It's also because anthropologists have set up scenarios of human evolution that very strongly emphasize aggression. So we got where we are because we are killer apes and we have wiped out everybody else. We've wiped out the Neanderthals and so on. And so aggression is part of that story. Warfare is part of that story. And then when the bonobo came along, they didn't fit because the bonobos are too nice for that picture. And even though the bonobo is exactly equally close to us as the chimpanzee, and so I would argue exactly equally relevant as the chimpanzee, they have been put to the side because they have female dominance. No one knows what to do with that. They have sex instead of warfare. No one knows what to do with that. And so they have been ignored.
You talk about a matriarchal society among the bonobos and a patriarchal society among the chimpanzees. Is their behavior really so very different from each other?
Yeah, it is strikingly different. So, for example, the bonobo males, they hang out with their mom. I call them sometimes mama's boys. They travel through the forest following their mothers around. And their position in the male hierarchy, because there's definitely competition among the males, but their position is dependent on what kind of mother they have. If they have a high-ranking mother who's in good health, they can have a high-ranking position. Now, for chimpanzees, it's totally different because chimpanzee males, they organize all this stuff among themselves. Females are barely involved in the power struggles among males. That's all male business. And the males are fully dominant over the females also, which is not the case in the bonobo. So the bonobo is, yes, is a totally different animal. So to give one illustration, we have many pieces of evidence of killing among chimpanzees, either infanticide where they kill infants or killing among males in territorial fights. There's not a single instance known for bonobos, even though bonobos have now been studied for maybe 25 years. There's not a single killing among bonobos that has been observed in captivity or in the field. So that's a substantial difference right there.
There's quite a variety of behavior that you've noticed over the years, because it seems to me that you've told in the book Our Inner Ape two stories about chimpanzees, for instance. There are killings, as you mentioned, but there are other instances in which chimpanzees will band together to prevent violence, are there not?
Yeah, chimpanzees are cooperative animals, and chimpanzees have a level of empathy, a substantial level of empathy towards each other. I would argue that bonobos have a higher level. So, for example, there was a case of bonobos in Milwaukee at the zoo where they had a blind female who could not find her way. And so each time the caretakers called her in a building, she would get lost in that building. And after a couple of weeks of that, the oldest male of the group would go to that female, take her hand, and lead her to the place where the caretakers wanted her to be. Meaning that this male had an understanding of what the caretakers wanted, had an understanding of the handicap that that female had, and was helping out.
Of course, there are also things that the bonobos seem to enjoy more than the chimpanzees, and maybe we ought to be looking at that as well. You talk about the bonobos being sexual, and you're not kidding, are you?
No, bonobos, I call them the make love, not war primates. So, for example, when two groups of bonobos meet, there is initial tension between them, But then instead of fighting and killing each other, as chimpanzees would do, and we actually do sometimes, the bonobos then have what they call mingling. They're going to have sex with each other, and then they're going to groom each other, and the kids are going to play together. And so the two groups mingle, and then they separate again. And so they use actually sex to resolve issues. Also, after a fight, instead of reconciling with a kiss or an embrace, as chimpanzees would do, the bonobos have sex. And that's also why sex occurs in all combinations of individuals, because tensions occur in all combinations. And so you have sex between females and between males and all sorts of combinations of individuals.
Even, I gather from some of the stories that you tell, sex between adults and infants, or at least stimulation.
Yeah, all combinations occur. I should add, though, that the sex is pretty casual by human standards. So it's not like they're going to do a two-hour deal of sex or something. It's 10 seconds, 20 seconds. And I call them sometimes genital handshakes. Is the way we tap each other on the shoulder or shake hands, they have a little sexual interaction and then they move on.
Because then you have the flip side of this, which are some fairly horrifying stories about chimpanzees who engage in warfare and even kill other chimps that they had known quite well, had played with.
Yeah, chimpanzees, this was the first observations were at Gombe Stream, where indeed a group split. And after the split in the group, they started killing each other off. Even so, individuals who know each other and have lived together, they can still develop this kind of group identity that gets them then into warfare with each other. We understand it because in humans, this kind of thing can also happen where you redefine groups or split or whatever happens. And so then what happens is that males patrol their borders of the territories, and they wait for the right opportunity when they see a single male of the other group to isolate that male and to beat him up and bite him and leave him behind and let him die. And so, yeah, chimpanzees are extremely vicious.
So are you suggesting that we humans essentially share both of these genetic heritages, the chimpanzee and the bonobo, the violent and the peace-loving?
Yeah, we are the most bipolar ape, as I call us, in the sense that we have extremely vicious and violent tendencies that we sometimes use, especially against members of outgroups, not so much against members of our in-group. And then we have very high levels of empathy and love and altruism that are truly remarkable for our species that we can also use. And so we have sort of two pillars to build on.
We think of ourselves as far more complicated, and I suppose we are in many ways, but there are instances that you point out. There was a story you told about a baby. You called her the Little Rose.
Yeah, we had a baby chimp who we didn't know where to place, so we didn't want to place it in a human family. So we gave the baby chimp named Roche to a female chimpanzee. And we trained this female to bottle feed the baby because she didn't have any milk to offer herself. And so she bottle raised the baby chimp. And then later we introduced them to our large colony, a colony of more than 25 chimps at a zoo in the Netherlands. And we were very afraid, actually, for Roche because chimpanzee males can be infanticidal, and they are especially infanticidal with babies that they don't know or have never seen. And the alpha male of our group had shown hostility. So we had introduced the female chimp and her baby through the bars to him to see what would happen, and he had shown that he was trying to grab the baby. And so when we introduced everyone on the large island where 25 chimps were going to live together, we thought that that male might try to steal the baby and kill it. And we introduced him as the last individual to be sure that the female was surrounded by her protectors, her usually friends. And actually that worked because when the alpha male came out of the door and entered the island, the two other males, the two big adult males in that group, they stood shoulder to shoulder in front of the female and they didn't let him get close. So they united against him and they prevented him from getting even close to the baby. And he gave up after that, and there was a long grooming session that day between everybody, and they sort of settled on this issue.
One of the worrisome things about this is to look at the behavior of the chimpanzees, especially this violent behavior, and it makes you wonder if that isn't in fact our nature as well and our future. Do you think it is?
Well, I think we can certainly create circumstances in which people will be violent. But you can also probably create circumstances in which you bring the good out of people or the friendly behavior, cooperative behavior out of people.
Looking at the bonobos and the rather peaceful society that they seem to manage to establish, it does give you some hope, don't you think?
Well, the bonobos are more egalitarian and they're certainly more peaceful than chimpanzees and humans. People sometimes, in a sort of wishful thinking, they say, oh, I wish we were like bonobos. It's, of course, a species very popular with feminists because of the female dominance and very popular with the gay community because of all the homosexual behavior that's going on. But I would also say that we cannot live like bonobos because we have opted for a society in which there's a family structure where males are involved in the care for offspring. And as soon as you get a society like that, males need to have some sort of certainty about what kind of offspring they have, because males will only be involved in caring for offspring if they have some certainty that it's their own. And to provide that certainty, we have surrounded our nuclear families with protections that prevent us from having the sort of society that bonobos have, which is totally promiscuous and where everyone has sex with everybody. So yes, we can dream about the bonobo life, but it's not a realistic option for the kind of societies that we have.
Franz de Waal, he runs the Living Links Center at the Yerkes Primates Center. His latest book is called Our Inner Ape.